This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Stugatz has fallen in love with a Cleveland Indian. We will get to that in just a second. But before we get to that, I want to wonder aloud with the audience, because sports can be a relationship that the customer has with his sports team. It could feel emotional he or she has with their sports team, where you feel like you're in a bit of a relationship. I don't know how many of you in the audience are dating, or how many of you even remember dating. It's been so long since people could safely date. But I want you to imagine the relationship with sports right now being someone that you're dating and you can't figure out why things are just a note off, okay? Because it's not just that I'm watching NBA games, Stugatz, and they look like really evolved video games sometimes. Like, even better, as realistic as our video games are now, there are times I am watching the television and the absence of things make it so that I feel like I'm watching graphic animations instead of actual human beings. This can't be, it can't be happening to just me. There have to be times, put it on the poll, Tony, please, at Le Batard Show. Are there times that you're watching NBA games and the graphics make you feel like the human beings are video game characters right now? But last night, sports, Stugatz, in South Florida for a long time have felt a little sad. But what I've gotten from my last two viewing experiences has been a little extra sad. One was watching the Marlins play in a minor league stadium last night with no fans, like right in the middle of Buffalo. It felt so minor league. And keep in mind, this is a team that has felt so minor league for decades.
The Buffalo Blue Jays, great game, though. I mean, Lewis Brinson almost had a big two-run shot to keep the Marlins, in contention. How about that?
Thank you, Stugatz, for nothing. But the Buffalo ballpark is incredibly sad, and not just because it's in Buffalo. It's just very minor league. But when I was watching, and I know this happened, I know South Florida is going to recognize what I'm talking about. During the Heat-Pacers game, there were audio difficulties at one point, and all you heard was lifelong broadcaster Eric Reed in his distinctively nasal voice, clearly broadcasting from a sad janitor's closet somewhere, because all the other ambient sound got eliminated, and it was just Eric Reed's voice, and it was dystopian, Stugatz, where I'm listening to him talk about, you know, what should be an exciting game, but all of the elements are gone. The ambient sound, the fans, his fellow broadcaster, whatever it is they need to pipe in to make it sound like he's not in a janitor's closet somewhere far away from the action. And so it was just him talking into a microphone, and it made me so impossibly sad because my relationship with sports is a note off. And I'm grateful that it's just a note off, because in that moment I was reminded, oh wait, I had already changed my expectations for how sad all of this is. I'm enjoying that Stugatz and my father and Pablo Torre are in a virtual crowd, everyone allowed in, because why wouldn't everyone be allowed in? There are no fans allowed at the game. But they need to bombard us with stimuli. What has replaced the home experience of T-shirt cannons flying T-shirts into the crowd is just an assortment of stimuli. Tell me, Mike, did you – well, you fell asleep at halftime, so I don't even know if you
– that Heat-Pacers game? Yeah. I mean, 8:45 halftime. What are we, in Spain?
Chris, did you have that reaction to Eric Reed when all the sound fell? I've got to think all over America – this is happening with the regional broadcast, where you're reminded, as we try to get back to something that feels normal, there are so many reminders that we're in the apocalypse, like that make appearances to remind us when sound blows out, when someone's coming to us from a janitor's closet, when the Marlins aren't playing a home game and are playing a team that is homeless, and they're the home team in Buffalo, where they don't have Major League Baseball, and the park is empty. So when a guy comes up in a dramatic moment, and it's Francisco Cervelli,
who we found is Venezuelan.
I thought he was Italian.
We all did.
off to a great start with three homers. I mean,
well,
they're only 34 somehow. I thought he broke into the league at 34 with the Yankees.
Stugat, that was I don't know that I've ever had an experience quite like this, okay? The situation in that Marlins game is thus. They're down 4-1 in the ninth. The Blue Jays reliever is wild. They get a runner on. The Blue Jays reliever then walks another guy on a 3-2 curveball that is the single dumbest pitch I've seen thrown in the major leagues. He could have allowed a home run. What you can't allow is that guy to get on base so that Cervelli does what he did in the next at bat, which is 3-0 pitch. He's hacking, and nothing says dystopian apocalyptic future like backup catcher Francisco Cervelli hacking 3-0 during a pandemic, and he hits a home run to tie the game 4-4, and I don't believe that anyone in that sad ballpark actually enjoyed that home run. They all wanted to go home because baseball is sad and dystopian right now, and he hit a home run to extend the game. This has to be happening all over sports, Dugatz. Have you felt this where you get sad watching a game because something reminds you, wait a minute, nothing about what's happening now is normal?
Yeah, it happened to me. As exciting as the PGA Championship was over the weekend, and it was very exciting, you had a moment on the 16th hole where, and we discussed this on Monday, where Colin Morikawa hit one of the great shots. In fact, I had it ranked number one all time. Greatest shot in the history of golf.
Greatest wow shot in the history of golf.
And there was no one. There was no sound. There was no celebration. It was just the shot. Jim Nantz described the shot. There was no reaction to the shot. And, yeah, so I've had those moments. And I'm struggling what to do here with sports because of the lack of fans, but certainly, yes, it is off a beat, but I'll take it for now, Dan. I will take it for now.
I understand that you'll take it, but one of the things that has to happen, and I know everyone that is like Stugat loves Jim Nantz on their broadcast, his style, we need to replace it with Gus Johnson during these times. Like, agreed. During these times, an emergency replacement situation where you can't get staid, starched golf announcer guy doing the show in boat shoes, you need to go get somebody who's going to give the enthusiasm that you're not getting anywhere else.
It's so funny that you bring that up because I was thinking, as much as I love Nantz, with a crowd calling golf, in that moment, with no crowd, the guy I wanted calling that tee shot from Morikawa was Kevin Harlan. That's a driver right between the eyes. Like, give me something, you know?
How much have you missed Kevin Harlan? Did you even realize how much you missed Kevin Harlan? Put it on the poll, Tony. Did you realize how much you've missed Kevin Harlan?
I had no idea. It's one of the astonishing things that has happened to me throughout this pandemic, that I had no idea how much I had missed Kevin Harlan until I started to listen to Kevin Harlan again. That guy is one of the few announcers that does not need fans. He doesn't need any sound behind him. You just need Kevin Harlan on the broadcast, and what you have is excitement. You don't need fans in the background. Just
he
Kevin
does.
Harlan.
He goes and he gets the enthusiasm from his nether region. It's like it's coming up from his undercarriage. It's Nantz doesn't have it there. Nantz doesn't have anything in the undercarriage. He can't go and get something extra from the Very few can. It's true. We come back with Stugatz's love affair with a Cleveland Indian out of nowhere next.
And finally, French authorities have opened a murder investigation after a 30-year-old corpse was found in a basement during renovations of a Parisian mansion abandoned since the mid-18th century that sold for about $41.2 million. The UFC heavyweight title is on the line when Stipe...
Stipe.
I'm so hung up on the second name, on the last name, that Stipe is the easy part. Now what do I say?
Miocic.
Stugatz, earlier this week, you got all the names right and stumbled on the word completed or competed. I don't know which one you were trying to say, but you messed one of them up.
Stipe Miocic.
Stipe.
I know. And Daniel Cormier complete their trilogy at UFC 252 on ESPN+. It's a good fight, right, Dan? You're looking forward to that one, correct?
I am, yes. You got very mad at me the other day because I became Burt Sugar analyzing their last fight. Burt Sugar, such a great reference. I'm guessing, put it on the poll at Lebatard Show, do you know who Burt Sugar is? Because that's an old reference. It is an old, he looked like an old-timey newspaper man from the 1920s, whatever you imagine him looking like, with an unlit cigar he was always chewing. I just think that as good a reference as that is, I don't feel like the audience knows who you're talking about.
I can't wait to watch this fight, given your analysis, and just concentrate fully on the right side of Stipe Miocic.
No, the right side of Daniel Cormier.
To see if he, okay.
The left hand of Miocic.
Yeah, you can't give him that window, because Stipe is going to make you pay every time.
Right, found the weakness. Let's see if Cormier covers it up. And then what does Stipe do to counter it? I mean, so
I became
many
Harold Letterman. I became, is that, what's a better reference? Because Burt Sugar's funnier visually. Harold Letterman is a funnier name to throw out there. Both of them too obscure for the joke to work.
Okay, yeah. Jim.
UFC 252 is exclusively available to ESPN Plus subscribers for $64.99. Visit ESPNplus.com/PPV for more details. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
All right, put it on the poll, please, Tony. A funnier boxing name to say, funnier name comedically, Burt Sugar, Harold Letterman, and a late entry, Larry Merchant, is pretty good as well.
Wow.
Larry Merchant as a name is pretty funny.
Wow.
I don't know if you can get that sound, Mike, of Larry Merchant, I think well into his 80s, threatening Floyd Mayweather that he was going to kick his ass.
Unfortunately, pay-per-view, I can't replay that, but it's on YouTube, folks. Go ahead and seek that out.
It's great.
Classic.
If I were a younger man and it was just white-haired Larry Merchant, I think close to his 80s. So, Stugatz, during the pandemic, there are any number of things over the last 6 months here that have become illuminating, where the light that is shining on some of these things is inescapable, where things are laid bare in a way that doesn't have camouflage. So one of the things over the years that has made me unpopular, and you will see on August 17th as this roster at ESPN Radio becomes super sports, 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 sports. One of the things that has made me unpopular over 15 years is that I've been talking about the race relations as they relate to sports and beyond for a long time, and it has bothered people a great deal. They accuse me all the time of pulling the race card, and I'm a race baiter, and I've just been someone who's talked about this stuff ad nauseum for the better part of two decades. And I told you at the beginning of the pandemic, as things spilled into our streets, oh my God, what I was saying was so vastly underestimated in terms of the tensions in this country. So I was unpopular for giving voice to something that is vastly, vastly worse in a way that everyone can see now. The other place where it's become obvious, Stugatz, in a way, we can't turn back from this. We will not be able to turn back from this. I thought sports was business greedy. I said all the time that the big disconnect between the customer and the athlete is that the customer wants to make it an emotional relationship, and the athlete is like, hey, baby, this is prostitution. Don't get too attached. It's so much worse than I thought. Like, baseball doesn't care at all about where its season ends as long as the checks cash during a pandemic. Like, baseball, and now you see it happening in college football. You see what's happening in college football with the hearts of kids. Like the greed, we can't go back, Stugatz. It is in front of you. The bare naked greed is something that you will not be able to escape ever again. The imprint of this is not going to go away, as you just see how awful the greed is, where they will distort everything. One homeless team playing in Buffalo against another minor league team that's fielding 27 janitors because they need to get to the end of the paychecks and the television
money. 3 weeks into the season, and that other team hasn't played a home game, and they played a road game in the city of Buffalo.
they need to play a certain amount of games. They don't care who plays in those games. They don't care who the winner is. They don't care who the loser is. They don't care about anything other than getting the max amount of games that they promise to the TV networks and to the people they sold advertising to. That's it. That's all I care about.
The Sports with a Z crowd has been on us for years. Anytime we have our wacky fixed baseball shows and we put a pond in the outfield, I mean, doubleheaders being seven innings and a runner on second base already is, yep, it starts in 60-game seasons, and we'll just add teams to the playoffs, and you get to pick your opponent on television in a special. This is stuff that we would have came up with years ago and been called crazy. I love it.
Stugatz, they have taken a bat to the structural integrity of our most historic game in a way that is simply, get out of our way, we need to get to the bank.
I think Christian Yelich might hit 100 for the season, and he needs to get hot for that to happen.
It's crazy. I mean, you could have a postseason when the Marlins are involved. I mean, think about that. But no one cares as long as we get the games in.
Chris, what happened during the last segment that we were talking that you didn't come onto the air with the best of your stuff, but you gave us the best stuff off air?
I mean, the Pluko guy. Look, I don't want to be the guy that's celebrating what Clevenger and the other police sack guy for the Indians did. They shouldn't do what they're doing, what they did. But everyone has that friend that during this quarantine and this pandemic is the safest of the bunch. No matter what you say you did or the safe measures you took, they always took one safer measure than you did. And I feel like Plutko's kind of being that friend here. Like his, he better not have any webs in his closet or whatever we keep in closets. Because if he better be very safe. I know if I'm another Indians player, I'm keeping an eye on Plutko going forward.
It's a Clevenger and Plesak. I mean, they are going to watch Sergeant Plutko's every single move for the remainder of the season. And Chris is so right. He better not have a misstep. He better not have one day.
Wait a minute. Chris is not so right because for some reason, instead of skeletons, he's got webs in closets. I think he was going for spiders there. Yeah. Look.
You get what I meant. Context clues. You know what I meant.
All right. Very good.
Let's go. My private jet isn't going to fuel itself.
No, here's the great thing. Here is the great thing about the Codys, Stugatz, and you and everyone else who gets to win because you sit next to strident, obnoxious, race-baiting me. This is the tweet I get yesterday. I think Lebatard needs another vacation. Keeping the Codys around as his punching bag for the hard network out is cheap. I love the show, and I get the show, and I love Dan, but I turn the show off for the first time on Tuesday because it's apparent that he has checked out. You see all the webs in my closet, sir. All the webs. You see them.
And finally, the last Blockbuster video store in the world can now be rented as an Airbnb. Located in Bend, Oregon, the store is going full 90s with this overnight, including creating a living room within the store with decor from the decade, a gigantic era-appropriate television, a VCR, and all the store's VHS tapes to choose from to complete the mise en scene. What the hell is that? At $4 per night. I mean, how about that? A little Blockbuster video Airbnb. These days, it's good to be prepared. That includes your vehicle. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment necessary, and also curbside pickup on any order. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See stores for details. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day. Mise en scene.
We are going to empty the rest of the Lou Holtz file here in a second, but we got to talking about it because Lou Holtz says college football should come back. He says that when we stormed Normandy, there were some casualties, so there have to be risks involved with bringing back the obviously necessary wartime and war-soaked sport of college football, according to Lou Holtz. Normandy was the reference. So we are emptying that file, and we will in a second. But before I do that, I'd like to go around the room here and just give me a guy that you looked up one day at ESPN, and he was gone, and you were confused, and it took you months to realize – in the case of Lou Holtz, right, the sport goes away for a while. So a guy like that is going to disappear every season in some ways. But ESPN does a good job of using those people in the offseason. And so for me, Lou Holtz just vanished from one day to the other. He was the lispy voice of college football for this network for a while. Who does that for you, Mike, when you think of a guy who just vanished one day from to the next in at ESPN?
Brad Doherty. On multiple fronts, oddly enough.
That's an upset. That's right. NASCAR. Put it on the poll, Tony. Do you miss Brad Doherty? Seven-foot all-star Brad Doherty on NASCAR. How about you, Stugatz? Who does that for you?
Merrill Hodge. He's here 1 minute and gone the next. I don't know what happened. He was a star at the network.
Chris, how about you?
This guy worked with Lou Holtz a lot, Mark May.
That's right. Mark May got people so mad. Yep. People hated Mark May because he would have opinions contrary to theirs on college football. Tony, how about you?
Whatever happened to Jay Crawford? Felt like he was great on cold pizza and a bunch of different stuff and just disappeared.
I think he's calling Browns preseason games now.
Eric Mangini is pretty high on my list. Urban Meyer is another one who is in the news here yesterday. Stugatz, this is good here. This is good. Tell me you've seen this video. I love when the fourth wall, television tries to give you we've got it together so much. And it's harder to do during a pandemic. Tell me you saw this video of Urban Meyer giving very serious sound about college football. Was it to Dave Revson? Who was he doing this with?
Yeah, I do think that was Dave Revson.
Speaking of guys that were here 1 minute and gone.
Yes, Dave Revson gone. The rare Ace ginger. The rare ginger who vanished on us from one day to the next.
See, I think he's more of a blonde.
Is he?
Either way, he's the face of the Big Ten Network.
Okay. So guys, did you see this video, though? Did you see the video where Urban Meyer is giving very serious talk? And then it is slowly revealed in the mirror behind him that he's clearly on a boat. And then it's slowly revealed that what is happening on that boat is just some shirtless buddy and maybe nude buddy, given that we don't know how.
You couldn't see the bottom half.
You couldn't see the bottom half. It's all of a sudden in the mirror, in the analysis, in the shot. And then you see Urban Meyer realizing he's on camera, try and shoo him away because he's in the camera shot, revealing to everyone that Urban Meyer during a pandemic is on a boat with a dude who might be nude.
Yeah, and it seemed as though the friend wasn't in a hurry to get out of the way and enjoyed messing with Urban Meyer, but we could only see the top half of what was going on. It was just all very unsettling to me, from the sunburn on Urban's face to what was going on in the lower third.
Put it on the poll, Tony, please.
I don't mean the television screen.
Did you know that Urban Meyer was on a boat before the nude guy? Because I had not realized that he was on a boat, but of course Urban Meyer is on a boat. Let's empty the rest of that Lou Holtz file. How much is in there? I guess we teased 'Twas the Night Before Christmas with Chris Berman, Lou Holtz, and who else? This is Caliendo doing three different people?
Yeah, it's Gruden, Chris Berman, and Lou Holtz. Lou Holtz is coming up here at the end of this, but we're emptying the Lou Holtz file.
With a little old driver so lively and quick, kind of like a Drew Brees type, man. I tell you what, I knew in a moment it had to be St. Nick. More rapid than Chip Kelly's Eagles offense. I love what he's doing there. His coursers, they came and whistled and shouted and called him by name. No Dasher, no Dancer, no Prancer and Vixen. On Comet, on Cupid, on Donder and Blitzen. To the top of the porch, to the top of the wall. No Dashaway, Dashaway. Dash away all. Nobody circles the reindeer like the big man in red. As dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, wind the meat that obstacle back to the sky. And none of this makes sense. So up to the housetop, the coursers they flew with eight sleigh full of toys and St. Nicholas too.
Again, just emptying the file here because Lou Holtz is back in the news. He was in the news because we're going to coaches for insight, and Urban Meyer's got a nude guy on his boat, and Lou Holtz is comparing college football to wars.
At least Holtz and Mike Ditka, I mean, they have stayed consistent throughout their entire lives. Holtz went to Normandy, and Ditka said, if you kneel for the national anthem, get the hell out of my country.
And again, Urban Meyer's got a dude that might be nude on his boat. We don't totally know. Let's keep emptying this Lou Holtz file.
This is another thing that happened on television, I believe, alongside of Reese Davis, and it's just labeled Lou Holtz is impossible to understand.
They will get to talk a whole lot more at halftime. I promise.
Well, I don't get a brain man cold.
Again, the voice of college football for many years here on ESPN, ladies and gentlemen, Lou Holtz, making more sense when he's comparing college football to Normandy.
Well, I don't get a brain man cold.
And finally, the final thing on our folder. Did you know that Lou Holtz was a number one seed in our Looks Like tournament that was voiced by Bob Lee? Here was the Lou Holtz submission.
Lou Holtz looks like a train conductor.
That's it.
Very efficient. We wrote them more efficiently back in the day. Yes, that's absolutely true. You can imagine him wearing that tiny hat and telling everybody that that they're headed to the next stop, but no one understands what he's saying over the tinny train speakers.
Well, I don't get a brain man cold.
That's a cool story, and I was actually going to talk about it here, Stugatz, because put it on the poll, Tony, at Lebatard Show. Do you like the idea of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air being a drama? Because Will Smith loved the idea based on that four-minute viral video that a lot of people enjoyed. And it's a cool story because a fan of the show did it, and then next thing they know, they're looking up, and Will Smith is producing the project with his production company. And for many years here, Stugatz, we have wondered. We root for Will Smith. We like Will Smith. Will Smith was so popular in the movies, at least in part because he was so likable. His performance as Ali was an amazing bit of acting. He's an enormously talented human being who was dominating music and movies at a very young age. And over the last 10 to 15 years, a lot of bad movie choices. His career, now he's going back to some of the franchise hits like Bad Boys. The places, yep. It's very hard to age in creativity. It is very hard to continue to reinvent yourself and age gracefully. And so he's going to an old standard. I remember Bill Simmons a long time ago, Stugatz, wrote a great article back at Grantland about like the Will Smith formula to how it is you become a movie star, the choices that you make. Because at the time he was making the right ones, with creatures and things in the movies that you need to sustain yourself. But now he's going back to his hits. He's tried this orc thing with Netflix. Uh-oh, Mike Ryan is pumping a fist right there because there's been a hockey goal and he's able to gamble during the show all of a sudden for entertainment purposes only.
A little brunch time betting. That's right, fellas. Dudes and dudettes. Grab your breakfast burritos. We got 11 a.m. Eastern time. Hockey. Way too early, dude. Way too early.
But a playoff game, an 11 a.m. hockey playoff game, because it was a 5-overtime game yesterday that pushed this game to 11 o'clock this morning. And we are feeling very good about the Carolina Hurricanes in the first period and for the game. And they're playing without Mr. Game 7, Justin Williams. But luckily, Dano, it's a game one.
You don't need him. You literally don't need Mr. Game 7 for 6 of the games in this series. And Tuukka Rask, you got to stop that. Tuukka Rask. Took a seat, more like it, dude.
All right, so if you don't understand what's happening right now, I do not blame you.
Why
because
why would you understand? I'm a surfer hockey fan standing way far from the microphone, and I'm absolutely loving the Stanley Cup playoffs, dude. What is better than 5 overtimes between the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Columbus Blue Jackets, live from Toronto, postponing the Carolina Hurricanes and Boston Bruins, also from Toronto? I know this is weird, dudes, but I am loving it, and that ice is looking like a clean sheet.
How about this? They get a big goal, Carolina does, from Joel Edmondson, Mr. Game 1. I mean, how great!
That was a clean sheet that surfer guy far away from the microphone said. And when I said I was going to explain to the audience what was happening now, I didn't actually want to elaborate on surfer character who stands far away from the mic analyzing hockey. I just wanted to break down for the audience what hockey was, because if you watch ESPN, you might not know.
Oh, it's a damn shame. Remember Barry Melrose and the NHL hockey theme? My God, what a time, dude. But now my mouth is salivating as if I'm about to take a bite from a fresh ceviche, dude. What do you call that thing when your jaw knows that it's about to eat something sour? It blows my mind every time. I haven't eaten in a long time, and my mouth is just like, brace for it, dude. It's going to be tart.
So you guys, this is the height of degeneracy, I would say, okay. And the height of
the height of winning money.
It kind of hurts, but the relief is like, man, I'm glad. Everybody chill out, dude. I'm glad we all collectively made it through this whole thing, body, because I'm about to bite into this ceviche, and my body is obviously preparing me for how tart. But you never know how tart, dude. That's the most beautiful thing about a nice ceviche, bro. Peruvian South, you know.
I'm not even sure how popular tart is as a sort of...
Oh, it's the ultimate flavor profile, dude. You ever get a nice ceviche and a tostone? Oh!
Oh, tart and salt.
Oh, you get tart. It's a textural delight, dude. It really is. You get the crunch with the soggy whitefish. Man. Love a good ceviche.
Put it on the poll, please, Tony. Is ceviche with un tostón a textural delight? Yes or no? Because I'm guessing does the audience even know what a tostón is, Mike? I know South Florida does, but
tostone,
is that...
man, you mash up a banana, you fry that some.
Thank you. I was talking to Mike, though. I wasn't talking to the...
He's got to stay in character to the periods over there.
All right. So,
because your boy has Hurricanes, Moneyline, 1P. 1P, waiting on this 1P bet to come through.
I am a little alarmed, okay, at 11:30 playoff hockey. The reasons, again, if you did not catch it, is because there was a 5 overtime game last night in which I think Tampa... Tampa withstood 85 shots. Is that the number?
No, it's the Blue Jackets, dude. The Blue Jackets withstood it. And I'm just learning about this Blue Jackets goalie, but dude can save the college football season. He's incredible, dude.
Okay, so basically, a game went so long last night that they simply had to cancel the night playoff game between Boston and Carolina. And so we have the delight of watching that game right now live. Again, the NHL, you might not have heard, has successfully and somehow quietly created a bubble as well. But we have not noticed it quite as much because people ignore playoff hockey, even though playoff hockey is the single most amazing thing anywhere in sports.
What? Let's go. My private jet isn't going to fuel itself.
Does ESPN presently have anyone other than Steve Levy and Barry Melrose talking about hockey? Do we have just two guys, or do we have a third guy somewhere, or a third person somewhere that's breaking down hockey on our network that doesn't have TV rights to
hockey?
It's
a shame, dude. You should send Rinaldi up to the Canadian bubble, bro, the Cubble. He could tell so many great stories. I mean, just think about talking about the Arizona Coyotes. So many storylines there with the Yotes.
Guest on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Here's your SportsCenter update. A's outfielder Ramon Loureiro has been suspended 6 games, and Astros hitting coach Alex Cintron 20 games for their roles in Sunday's benches clearing incident between the teams.
Did you hear what Loureiro said by way of apology, Stugatz?
No, what did he say?
I regret charging him. Because he's a loser. Not much in the way of an apology. If he had not been a loser, I would not regret charging him.
Did Cintron accept the apology? Or?
Well, that guy, that part is weird. The idea that a coach is in the dugout making fun of someone's mother. Like, that's what was reported there. And isn't that why he got, how many games did he get? 20?
20 games, yeah. Get 20 games.
A third of the season.
Exactly. AJ Hinch got 60.
Hey, you really turned that into a dub.
You really did. Yankees DH Giancarlo Stanton could miss up to a month with the hamstring injury that forced him to the injured list this past weekend. And finally, Disney Plus has revealed they are working on a Three Men and a Baby remake starring Zac Efron. This is his first movie with Disney since the High School Musical trilogy wrapped up in 2008. And who could forget that trilogy, especially the first one? Woo, was that good. If you're like me, you love a good stat, but there's one stat you probably don't know, your vehicle's battery charge. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment necessary. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See stores for details. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Stugatz, have you seen the latest report from the New York Post on ESPN's search for a Monday night football broadcasting team? Right now it's going to be Steve Levy, Louis Riddick, and Brian Griese. But did you see the report on from the New York Post on who ESPN made a run at?
Wasn't it Peyton Manning that ESPN had made a run at?
Yeah, well, they do that every year. Every year they make a run at Peyton Manning, but it was Sean McVay.
Really?
Sean McVay, a guy who is presently coaching, who is young. This is according to the New York Post. I don't know if it's true or not, but that is inspired thinking, right? Hey, we'll give you so much money that we'll get you out of coaching. It's an easier job. Now, John Gruden went the other way, right? He went from a very easy job in broadcasting to going back to the NFL and the grind. And most of these broadcasters who come from that sport will tell you that being close to the game after you've played it is something that hurts. And so you get as close as you can in broadcasting to the field, literally, but you're reminded at every turn that you're outside of the action. And so now, because everyone's vying for these football rights, because you would imagine that Amazon would try and get into that game as well, what's being elevated here is the broadcaster that people are going after because they want to give a sturdier product to the NFL that represents the NFL. So you've got Romos everywhere as opposed to just Romo on CBS. And so you get a, you know, a report like this where you're talking about getting an active coach who is young out of the game. And my guess is he would probably be pretty great at that job.
Oh, like that's, have you ever seen him breaking down football? He does this a lot for the Rams social media. He is an absolute natural. I think he's going to be coaching in the NFL for a very long time. He gives off Gruden vibes. He gives off passion for the sport. Informative, but not talking down to you. He's going to be excellent at that. I'm excited to watch Hard Knocks. They're featuring two teams this season. He's one of the teams, and he's supposed to be a real star of it.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting they went after McVay. It's interesting that the dollars are enough where I'm assuming McVay at least has to consider that along with his agent and his family. Tony Romo has said recently that he loves broadcasting. He gets paid similar dollars. The body doesn't hurt on Monday. I mean, so McVay's a coach. He's not a player. And I'm certain Tony Romo would not go back and do it all over again. But there is something like, hey, I don't have to grind it out. And I can still make similar type dollars and only work that one night a week and a couple of days leading up to it, getting ready for the game, which wouldn't be a lot of prep work for a guy who is recent, who is now coaching in the NFL. I mean,
It would be a disaster public relations wise. You don't have your football coach fully committed to coaching. The second they lose a divisional game, it's the distraction.
Oh, no, Mike, I think you're taking it different. I think they were getting him out of coaching. I don't think
no
they were.
You think that they were trying to lure him?
Yes,
wow.
That's how I took that report.
100%.
I'm not taking that as they just want him on Mondays
because that would be interesting.
Because he's not busy. No,
wow.
I think that.
Yeah, wow. No, Mike, they wanted to take McVay away from the Rams and make him, you know, put him in the Monday Night Football booth. Yeah.
That's nutty. I think I'd prefer that job, especially if they pay me more. But
well,
whoa.
Here's the thing. This is what I've learned about coaches, because I would say, Stugatz, for sure, the easier, better job is the broadcasting job. Like, you don't have to worry about that all year. Think about John Gruden was getting $6.5 million a year for basically 16 dates. Like 16 right. days. Now, there's work yep. that goes into it, but he's not sleeping on a couch at 4 o'clock in the morning. Like, for sure, without question, for the dollar, the broadcasting job is the one that you want, especially given what's going on now, where people are trying to make a splash, because whatever $17, $18 million is to give Romo and seems like a lot, it's a penny in the bucket that the NFL plays with in terms of money. And if they want broadcasters paid that way because they want bigger names associated with their sport, then you do that to please your rights holder, because everybody wants to keep these NFL games on their televisions. They're the last thing that basically Netflix can't take from you. They can't take the live viewing experience of those games from you. Everything else on television is negotiable. You could watch it on demand.
So I wonder where ESPN goes from here. That's actually fascinating that they went after McVay. But I wonder where they go from here. Is it going to be Fowler and Herbstreit if there's no college football? Do you go after one of these coaches? Like, I'd consider Jim Harbaugh right now if I were ESPN. That would not be a terrible hire. He's got nothing to do, perhaps. You know,
that's actually a pretty good idea there, Stugatz. I'm sorry to sound so surprised, but what would the NFL reaction be if Sean McVay, potentially under this hypothetical, were to walk away before his coaching prime after a Super Bowl appearance just 2 years ago, to walk away from a marquee job to be a television commentator? Would the NFL prefer him being a commentator than the head coach, the young, vibrant head coach of a major market team?
He gets to do more if he's framing every event for them by teaching people about football. He gets to have more power in terms of influence for the NFL as a broadcaster than as a coach. But the thing that I was going to tell you about what I've learned about coaches, Stugatz, is that they come often from playing backgrounds. And when you come from playing backgrounds and then you become the coach, there's something empty about having less control over your results than you did as a player when you were taking care of your body and taking care of your team. And you're in the action more. A coach is in the weird position. It's why it can be such a miserable job, of being a control freak while having very little of the actual control once the game start and the bounces start, and you're sitting there, you've prepared and over-prepared, and then something happens, somebody misses a block, and everything that you plan doesn't matter how much you prepared. So the absence of control is something that they're always fighting against by doing things like Gruden and sleeping in the office, overworking. And it is such a miserable addiction, Stugatz, so miserable that even though the other job is easier, they go back to coaching, to being on the sideline, to having, you know, control freaks who have very little control, just trying to get that control. It is, to me, it's a fascinating study in sort of human happiness and human misery and how distorted you have to be about challenges and competition to go back to that heroin addiction when the alternate is, hey, here's the same amount of money. You only have to work 16 Mondays. You want it? No, thanks. I want to sleep in my office on a couch at 4 o'clock in the morning because I want to see if I can get my 8-8 team to 9-7. Like, it is crazy.
Guest on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Rob Schneider expected to join us here, I think. I hope
no,
so.
No, Stugatz, he had to cancel. He'll be back tomorrow. He had to cancel. Okay. We had a lot of success with him yesterday. He will be back tomorrow.
Okay. Well, thank you for the update, Dan. And perhaps Friday, maybe Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, right? At what point do we go in and ask for Chris Rock and Adam Sandler? That is the big question.
That is your department, my friend.
Okay, I'm on it. I'll think about it. Okay. Here's your SportsCenter update. A's outfielder Ramon Loreño has been suspended 6 games and Astros hitting coach Alex Cintron 20 games for their roles in Sunday's benches-clearing incident between the teams. Yankees DH Giancarlo Stanton could miss up to a month with the hamstring injury that forced him to the injured list this past weekend. And finally, there's no antidote for a blue-ringed octopus bite. However, if you can get to a ventilator to help you breathe and wait out the 15 hours of paralysis, your muscles will start working again and you'll survive.
Jesus.
Goodness. Jeez.
That's a good sentence right there. If you can just withstand the 15 hours of paralysis.
No, first you have to get to a ventilator.
Yeah.
Then wait out the 15 That's hours right. of paralysis.
Mm-hmm.
Then the muscles will start working again, and then you'll survive.
That's right.
For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Chris Cody brought up a good point during one of the commercial breaks, again, being better off air than he is on air. He said, what don't you understand, Dan, about people getting fulfillment from their jobs? Like, why wouldn't a Jay or a John Gruden choose football over the easier job of broadcasting because of the level of fulfillment that he gets from overcoming a bigger challenge? And it's a really good point. I would just submit to the entire audience, which do you prefer, easy money or hard-earned money? At Lebatard Show, put it on the poll. What do you prefer, easy money or hard-earned money? Because I think we can all agree that Sean McVay doing the Monday Night Football job would be a vastly, by leaps and bounds, easier job, less of a challenge than coaching NFL football.
Is that a poll I'm not allowed to vote on? How does that
Well, I assume that most people, I get great fulfillment from my work, and I'm always told, like, I know, I've got great gratitude because I can't believe that we get to do the stupid thing where we get to create and they pay us money. So I get both things. I get the fulfillment and I get the money. And I understand why it is that people would always, to God, doctors, lawyers, they want jobs like that. They want that when they have their jobs, which are good in terms of pay and maybe in terms of helping people, they're like, oh man, I want that job in sports where I get to just talk like that. But I always assumed that the great majority of people listening to this right now don't enjoy their work. And so if I say making money at work, do you want it to be easy money or do you want it to be maximum challenge hard? I get the pricelessness of fulfillment, but I thought the majority of the audience would prefer easy money.
I think you're probably right. They would. The interesting thing about coaching, though, is it is in sports. It does come with a lot of dollars. It comes with a lot of pressure, but you can have the best of both worlds, Dan. You can get paid, enjoyment, and have fulfillment. I mean, you can have all of that wrapped up into one, as opposed to you're never going to get the fulfillment of calling a game that you will coaching a game and helping your team and coming up with something that helps your team win a game. I don't think you can replace that fulfillment.
Understood, and you are correct. Because what coaches will tell you and players is that being at the center of all of that, of the gladiator spectacle. And look, this is what we're coming back to. If you see what's happening in America, it's get the games back out there so we can enjoy just the gladiator spectacle of this to distract us on what's going on in life. The people at the center of that wonderful competitive chaos will tell you that they get to feel a more heightened sense of alive than the rest of us. You don't jump up and down in many places in your life with emotional joy. Even the happiest days of your life when you're crying because you've seen a child born, you're not jumping up and down, yelling at a television screen, hugging your friends in a way that sports does. So like I get the portion of it, but the amount of work that you have to do in order to get to that, I thought that the American people here who like to think of themselves as hardworking, if I say to them, hey, here's $10,000. You could either work really hard for it or not work really hard for it. You could work really hard for it, and this one will have more fulfillment if you achieve what you're trying to achieve. Because Going 4-12 in that league is a special kind of misery, Stugatz. Like,
no
that,
doubt, yes.
Like, that is a, like, even people like Shanahan, wildly successful, my guess is his offseason was total crap. Like, just, like, wake up in the morning and feel in your stomach something that's horribly sour because you were that close to the fulfillment, but 6 minutes from the fulfillment.
Well, and let's be honest. I mean, one of the guys we're talking about is John Gruden. For, you know, a long time, he chose the easier path because Lord knows Gruden was offered coaching jobs just about every offseason he was here doing Monday Night Football, and he was probably offered better coaching jobs than the one they ended up taking with the Raiders and passed those down to continue to work one day a week. He was great at it. He was excellent at it, but the fulfillment didn't mean that much to him then. And then clearly somewhere along the way, something changed, and it probably had to do with $10 million and some ownership.
Well, that, yes, but they also are addicted to the challenges. Like, there is something to be said if you're a competitive person, if you're a competitionaholic, that you would go seeking the harder dollars because your entire construct as a warrior is sort of, where are the challenges? How do I problem solve? And those things aren't available to you in a booth where you're just going, you know, wow, I love football. And here is, you know, the banana play or whatever it is that he calls spider web double banana.
You know, a wise man once said, I never feel more alive than when they're taking the chips away.
Was that Al Pacino?
That was Al Pacino in Two for the Money.
What a terrible movie.
What do you mean, what a terrible movie?
What?
Matthew McConaughey goes shirtless and pumps iron to get the perfect pick after he hits a cold streak. It's an unbelievable film. And I live my life by that mantra.
Well, that's why right now...
I have no choice but to, because they're taking the chips away constantly.
What is the update right now that you have for us on Boston, Carolina?
Doggy is still alive. We're knotted at 2. Right now we're playing some 4-on-4 hockey. 5 minutes and 53 seconds left in the second period. A little brunch time playoff hockey, Dano.
I feel like we're going to be chasing this Carolina bet the entire day.
Oh, yeah. Especially if I lose. Woo! I'm going to feel mighty alive.
Does Hawaii have a hockey team? I mean,
Stugatz, we have, and I don't know whether to do this now or tease it. Okay, let me tease it, because you have heard before what we believe to be the cockiest thing that Stephen A. Smith has ever said. We play this sound all the time, and I want to play it for the audience now, because I think Stephen A. Smith has just entered the arena and said something cockier than what we have identified as the cockiest thing ever said by him and the cockiest thing ever said by anybody.
I have profound respect for the late Johnny Cochran, God rest his soul. But if it might be the cockiest thing that I've ever said. Christopher Darden and Marcia Clark did an absolutely horrendous job as prosecutors. Because if it were me, there's no way in hell Johnny Cochran would have beaten me with that evidence that they had. I'm telling you right now, I'm not even a lawyer. There is no way that you would have put 12 jurors in front of me with that evidence, and I would have lost to even the Johnny Cochran. I'd have won that trial. I've often said that.
Best two sentences in the history of the network are the cockiness and the swagger in those last two sentences that he said.
But I love that Stephen A., and only Stephen A. can say this, it might be the cockiest thing I've ever said. Because anyone else says that, we know it's the cockiest thing.
I might have another nominee.
We've got another nominee. But before we do that, I just want to listen to that sound again. And what I want you to absorb, okay, is not just the absurdity of the front end, but I want you to imagine him like straightening his jacket for the last two sentences as he sort of gets his confidence 100% in a place where yours has never been. And he says flatly that he's often said that.
I have profound respect for the late Johnny Cochran, God rest his soul. But if it might be the cockiest thing that I've ever said. Christopher Darden and Marcia Clark did an absolutely horrendous job as prosecutors. Because if it were me, there's no way in hell Johnny Cochran would have beaten me with that evidence that they had. I'm telling you right now, I'm not even a lawyer. There is no way that you would have put 12 jurors in front of me with that evidence, and I would have lost to even the Johnny Cochran. I'd have won that trial. I've often said that.
All right, we're coming back next year with what might be a cockier statement than that. Yes, maybe. I don't know for sure.